Blog Talk Radio.
Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da
sen lyver. No, 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 no. Flesje, noche, to increase, fire. Built my love, sky high. Send that boy off to die.
Marvin Gaye versus R. Kelly, so far as soulful sounds, careers, and everything that matters that's positive and a little bit of stuff that you may not have known about. Tonight we're talking about two powerhouse soulful brothers on deck, okay? We're trying to figure out, in your opinion, which one had the most mass appeal, okay? Who had the most soulful sound? Which one had the most impact from the social scene. That means community, worldwide, global, all that. Does Dr. of love. Does R. Kelly's style impart more or a lot of modern day style, you know, woo, and a lot of his songs, stepping in the name of love and all that good stuff. Which one had the hottest flavor with the ladies, right? And how does their personal lives impact their careers? And what is your favorite song and why? Man, we're on deck, 646-595-3402. So I'm going to start out with a little bit of biographical information here on these hot brothers, man, you know what I'm saying? Just kind of, you know, help you get your toes and your feet wet. Age before beauty. That means I'm going to start with my man Marvin first and read you a little something, and move on to R. Kelly. Born 3 days before me. I was born in 63. He was born in 39. At any rate, born April 2nd, 1939, and went home April 1st, 1984. Born Marvin Prince Gaye. He was an American singer, songwriter, and musician. Gaye helped to shape the sound of Motown in the 1960s with a string of hits including How Sweet It Is to Be Loved by You, I Heard It Through the Grapevine, and duets with Mary Wells and Tammy Terrell and Diana Ross. Later, earning titles of Prince of Motown and the Prince of Soul, during the 1970s, he recorded concept albums on What's Going On and Let's Get It On. That was strong stuff, folks. This was probably the first artist out there that ever did anything so far as an environmentalist talking about the environment with the songs of ecology in the inner city and talking about things that actually mattered to our neighborhoods and our communities. Beautiful brother. During the 70s, he did the concept albums, What's Going On and Let's Get It On, and became one of the first artists in Motown to break away from the reins of a production company. Gaye later recorded influential several albums in R&B subgenres as Quiet Storm and Neo Soul. Following a period in Europe as a tax exile in the 1980s, Gaye released the 1982 Grammy Award-winning album, or hit, Sexual Healing, and it was the Midnight Love album. He was fatally shot by his father on April Fool's Day, 1984, at their house at 2101 South Gramercy Street, or Place, in Western Heights, California, in the Western Adams District of Los Angeles. Since his death, Gaye has been posthumously honored by many institutions, including a Grammy Lifetime Achievement Award and the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Beautiful brother. Born in Washington, D.C. in 1939 to church minister Marvin Gaye Sr. and domestic worker Alberta Gaye at Nee Cooper. The first home was at 1617 First Street Southwest, a few blocks from the Anacostia River. The First Street neighborhood was nicknamed Simple City, half-century city. When Gaye was there in his teens, the family relocated to Deanwood section of Northeast D.C., and Gaye was the second eldest of Marvin Gaye Sr., and the third overall of six. He had two sisters, Jean and Zeola, and three brothers, Michael Cooper, Frankie Gaye, and Antoine Gaye. Michael Cooper, from his mother's previous marriage, while Antoine was born as a result of the father's extramarital affairs. That's as deep as we're going to get in on that. Okay, so there's a little background information on Marvin Gaye. Like I said, a beautiful, beautiful brother out there. Okay, now we're going to do a little something here on my main man, R. Kelly, born in my hometown, January 8th, 1967, 47 years old currently, and still residing in the city of love, Chicago. Robert Sylvester Kelly, born January 8, 1967, known professionally as R. Kelly, an American singer, songwriter, producer, and rapper, and a native of Chicago, often referred to as the current king of R&B. Kelly began performing during the late 1980s and debuted in 1992 with the group Public Announcement. In 1993, Kelly went on to do a solo album, 12 Play. He is known for a collection of major hits, including Bump and Grind, Your Body's Calling, I Believe I Can Fly, Gotham City, Ignition the Remix, and If I Could Turn Back the Hands of Time, and The World's Greatest, I'm a Flirt, and the Hip Hoop Opera, Trapped in a Closet. In 1998, Kelly won 3 Grammy Awards for I Believe I Can Fly. Kelly has written and produced and remixed songs for many artists, including Aaliyah's 1984 debut album, AJ Nothing But a Number. In 1996, Kelly was nominated for a Grammy for writing Michael Jackson's song, You Are Not Alone. Now, that's deep. I didn't know that. That's incredible. In 2002 and 2004, Kelly's collaboration albums with Jay-Z has been a great vocalist and on other hip-hop artist albums for Nas, Sean Puffy Combs, and Fat Joe. The Recording Industry Association of America, RIAA, has recognized R. Kelly as one of the best-selling music artists in the United States with 40 million albums sold, as well as the 5th black artist to crack the top 50 on the same list. In March 2011, Kelly was named the most successful R&B artist of the last 25 years by Billboard magazine. Kelly has released 12 solo albums and sold over 100 million records worldwide, making him the most successful R&B artist of the 1990s as one of the best-selling artists of all times. Born and raised in Chicago, he was the 3rd of 4 children. Kelly's mother, Joanne, and was a singer and a Baptist. Kelly's father was absent throughout most of his life, and Kelly began singing in church at age 8. In Chicago, the Kelly family lived in the Ida B. Wells Public Housing Project in Bronzeville neighborhood. Kelly entered the Kenwood Academy School in Hyde Park neighborhood in fall of 1980, where he met his music teacher, Lena McClinn, God bless her, who encouraged Kelly to perform the Stevie Wonder classic Ribbon in the Sky in a high school talent show. As a teenager, Kelly began street performing under Chicago's L Tracks, which is the electric trains that travel around out there, and also eventually formed a group with his friends Mark McWilliams, Vincent Walker, and Sean Brooks in 1989. Kelly McWilliams and Walker Brooks formed a group called the Musically Gifted Men, or MGM. In 1990, they released their first single, Why You Want to Play Me. After the release of the single, the group had disbanded. In 1991, he signed with Jive Records with the new group from Chicago called Public Announcement. So that brother was really, really deep and into everything that was going down. And we got two tight brothers that was on deck with it. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and start kicking in some callers now to get this thing up and rolling. Now that we've got some of the history behind these two great artists. And the first caller comes from Greenville, North Carolina, Charlotte, North Carolina. Let me get it right, get it straight. Robin Lynn, what's going down?
Oh, hey, I'm just listening in, getting some knowledge for my cerebellum. Thank you very much.
Not a problem. You know, we always have something to massage those mental muscle tendons and keep you going.
Yeah. I'm sorry I was a little bit late tonight.
Well, you were right on time, you know what I'm saying? And, of course, there is the power of the rewind and record button, so you haven't missed anything at all. You're in good stead.
Good. We were over there at Vibes Live celebrating. You know, we've got big things happening over there. We've got some big numbers going on over there, like 200,000.
Wow.
Actually, we're at 204,000 right now. We went up 4,000 listeners already today. And we hit 200,000 at 4 a.m. in the morning, Eastern Standard Time.
Well, boy, I am glad to be on deck and part of Vibes Live. Matter of fact, I should be ashamed of myself for not posting over there and posting the show there. So I'm going to have to get on my homework during the break and post the show over on my Vibes Live page. You know what I'm saying? I feel bad about that now. I feel bad. I know this has been a banner week for you, and you're doing a fabulous job over there, getting it in with all the good folks over there and doing the thizzle. I had some technical difficulties trying to get some R. Kelly and stuff up, and the little converter that I usually use to transfer music over decided that it wanted to act a little wiki.
It's crazy because I was sitting here operating 5-by all day long, and now my encoders are crashing, and just it's crazy. And they've been fine, and all of a sudden, you know. So I had some technical difficulties myself, and I was like, oh, I'm sorry.
Mom said Satan was always busy. I guess he was scratching his earlobes today, but that's all right. We're still on deck and on time for how it's going down today. Well, here we have on deck, we got two powerhouses on deck tonight. You know what I'm saying? We kind of making some comparisons here with R. Kelly and with Marvin Gaye, 6465.
Now, that's tough. That is really tough because they were both so prolific. But, you know, Marvin Gaye, yeah, R. Kelly too, but Marvin Gaye because he was more out there, I think more vocal. And then Marvin Gaye also, he put in a lot of work at Motown. He did a lot of the writing, a lot of the lyrics for a lot of the work there at Motown. And he and Berry Gordy they put in a lot of work. He was an artist who put in a lot of work. I don't know that much about R. Kelly's work, you know. I grew up with Marvin, but I didn't grow up with R. Kelly. But R. Kelly, he's been through some things, and even though he's been through some personal things and whatever, he stayed true to the music, and he's grown and matured in the music. And you can't do that without putting in your work either. And in that, they're both they're on such a level. It's hard to compare and say, I would never call somebody better or not than somebody else. I'm just plain up telling you, nah, man, your stuff is whack. You know what I'm saying? I mean, how do you qualify gooder, you know? But yeah, those are some interesting choices. You're making me have to think. I don't know if I want to do that right now. I think I'm going to go home.
Well, you know, don't go home. Wait, you're already home. Wait a minute.
I know. I thought that would get you.
Think for a second there. R. Kelly did quite a bit of, writing and background music, you know, as well for different artists. Everyone from Jay-Z to Nas, you hear him doing a lot of great backup work and what they call in the industry footwork, where he comes in and sings the vocal portion of songs for artists out there. He's done a lot of great works as well as doing some gospel stuff. That I Believe I Can Fly is actually a gospel song, and that netted his three Grammys that he's got. So that's incredible.
Yeah, that's amazing.
I love
it really is. I didn't see. I'm not up so much on R. Kelly, you know, as I said, but I'm not surprised to be hearing that. And my hat is off to him because of the maturity. And no matter what was going on in his personal life, you know, he did his time. He did whatever. But you never heard him complain about nothing. You just saw him steadily moving forward, and he's working, and I love that. I love that, evidently he's so good. That's what I was going to say. Evidently he's so good that other artists went and got him to have him on their stuff.
Yeah, let me tell you something. There are more similarities than you might realize. I mean, I was reading some stuff today that was really kind of a stunner. And I was reading it from this article that who made this article here? I think it was Dr. Boyce that you see on Truly or Black Moy, and the article was actually by Mark Anthony O'Neill, and it talked of how Marvin Gaye himself, you know, you have Nona Gaye who sung a little bit herself. She also appeared in The Matrix, and she's been in other movies and projects and stuff. Her mother, and was quite a young lady, a Janice Hunter, a 16-year-old sophomore, walked into the L.A. studio in March of '73 with her mother, Barbara Hunter, and introduced her to then 33-year-old Marvin Gaye, and he became quite enamored with her. You know what I mean? Back in those days, you know, my mom, she had her first child at 16, and actually at 14, and my old eldest sister had a sister at 16. So back in those days, it wasn't uncommon as it is now with everybody, look at this, point fingers and stuff. As it was now, R. Kelly, of course, had a few more extreme situations. But long story short, Marvin ended up marrying this girl 3 years later, and they had those two beautiful children. And Nona, you know, has been one hell of a singing artist slash, you know what I mean, actress and everything. So I mean, you know, a lot of things come ahead with people when they meet, and as they say, it becomes kismet. But there's a lot of similarities that come about. I mean, look at how Marvin, you know, married, you know, Berry Gordy's daughter first and everything. I mean, the brother, he was like Tupac, you know, he got around and did his thing too. Like I say, you know, when it comes down to artistry, there's a lot of things that go on in the art world and music and stuff where, you know, people are impassioned by people and they become enamored by them and everything. And this Marvin had looked very mature, you know, for her age. And I feel like she had a strong mind, and her mother didn't mind, you know, too much of what was going on. So, I mean, you know, weird things happen in these careers and stuff, but just like you said, it doesn't affect their artistry and their music. Of course, you'd like to see them do more productive things with their lives and some of the things that they get into, but, I mean, these guys are pretty incredible with the crafts and stuff that they do. You know, I only have a few R. Kelly songs because of those technical difficulties, but I'm going to give you a little piece of what I was telling you about how him and a particular rap artist, Keith Murray, kind of put a little something together. And even though it didn't go with the movie, there's a piece of music called Home Alone with R. Kelly and Keith Murray. Here's that shot with Home Alone.
It's gonna be a party, y'all.
Keith Murray rocks five verses with Universal and Overcome. Combined with R. Kelly and Prove It Can't Be Done. God stops in depth, part of rockin'. I hear somebody knocking, you're on a party,
hey,
y'all.
Yo, yo, who that?
Step into the crib with me tonight.
What's up, baby?
Kelly's in the mood to make it right. Word is getting all over town. Party's over here and down,
good, so rest tonight.
Party going on,
heard it. You heard it. You heard it. You know what I'm saying? You
got yes, I'll take Marvin Gaye and R. Kelly for 500, Bob.
There it is. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah, drinks all around. Drinks all around. I mean, do what it do. Distant Lover. What's another one? Dance. What's that song? I better not sing it because I know you're going to play it, Len. And
I will play that version later on.
I'm going to sing the whole thing. Now be quiet. No, I'm sorry.
you going in for all day on that one.
Hey, you know, I was about to go there. I was like, listen, you know, put the callers on hold, tell everybody to hold up, extend the show, because I'm getting ready to freestyle.
Well, there you go.
Now, I do know how to rap. Flossie, I really do know how to rap. I just don't know the words.
Oh, there you go. That's tough right there. There's nothing wrong with it. But one thing good about a freestyle, it's always free. You know what I mean? So, you know, you got the right idea. I'd be remiss if I didn't ask someone with your skilling and experience, right? And that's not to my age, but I'm just talking about experience. You know, some of the questions of the night that like I said before, I termed the deal you know, versus, you know, that implies that they're in a competition with each other. But like I said, their similarities are so close. They run so similar, you know what I mean? They're not dissimilar from each other. They're just about the same way. Which one of these two stars, when you compare, because, you know, R. Kelly, for what he is, has a lot of magnetism. He has a lot of and a lot of pizzazz or whatever they want to call it.
Yes, he does. He does.
Which of these two artists do you think had or has the most mass appeal amongst the people, their peers, and everyone out there that just loves to hear?
Oh, okay. That would be Marvin Gaye, but not because of the talent, but because of the trouble that R. Kelly got himself in with that young girl and the videos and stuff. So for the mass appeal and stuff like that, Marvin Gaye didn't, he had personal issues, but they didn't impact him, and he had a worldwide. So I would say Marvin Gaye.
But now keep in mind, as I precursor that answer again, which I say sub-cursor that answer, which means you've already, replied, so I'll say again, Marvin had a similar situation with his second wife. He was 33, she was 16, so by the time she turned 19, and they finally got around to getting married, whether it was
the media didn't cover it, and so that didn't stop him, and so we didn't know that like that. We thought that they were just really cute and singing the songs, you see. We bought it. And where with R. Kelly, it was, as soon as he was doing the gosh darn thing, you know, we were already throwing him under the bus, and you didn't have that element.
Right.
And so because of that, that's why he had, even though they did the same similar things, it didn't impact his appeal. And Marvin Gaye he's got worldwide, more so than R. Kelly does. I'm not saying that R. Kelly doesn't have that worldwide appeal, but he doesn't have it like Marvin Gaye did. Yeah.
Right. I would think
that's tough, though. Huh?
In my former sports group, we were having that same type of conversation, we were trying to figure out which person had the most mass appeal. And, of course, you know, when you deal with younger men, and they're more related to the artists of the day because maybe they either didn't have privy to what was going on so far as you know, the elements of the music combined with everything else
I might not be young, but at years old, I have seen almost every genre of music that we have existing out there right now came about in my lifetime.
Right.
Yep.
Right.
All of it. Hip hop, rap, rock and roll, all of it.
Mm-hmm.
All of it.
Well, as I was trying to explain to those younger men that I was talking to, I don't think they got the full gravity of what Marvin brought to the table, because a lot of them, they heard the music, as I did when I was real young, when Marvin was first out, being in the same age bracket as you. Even then, the impact of what he had for the civil rights movement and the impact he had, being that literally, he could actually make the claim of being the first artist to sing about the need to preserve our environment, you know, with the Ecology album that he put out there and the What's Going On and the Mercy Day songs. And of course, he spoke to the inner cities as well. So he was advocate, preacher, you know, the whole, he had the whole umbrella, you know what I mean? Whereas R. Kelly, I've never really ever heard him in a mass appeal way, you know, have that same kind of appeal per se that Marvin Gaye had. And I mean he's a great talent, a great artist, and I take nothing away from R. Kelly's life that was about his talent. Okay, he held his talent, you know, in check, and that was a great thing. But you know, when you kind of court the niece of a super mega star like Gladys Knight in a manner that wasn't really befitting, which is why Gladys Knight and her family broke up that relationship that he and Aaliyah had early. You know, it's one of those kind of things where that kind of stuff can kind of stigmatize your career and stuff. I don't want to get into that right now.
Can I ask a question though? Did he marry Aaliyah?
He actually did. He actually married her when she was very young, and that didn't sit well with Miss Knight and the rest of that family.
Well, what do you think about that? Because I thought that was a good thing. He was traveling with her. They were going out of the country, and they weren't with her, and I believe he really loved that girl. For one thing,
she was 14 and he's in his 20s. That's kind of a rough setup. And although that happens a lot in the South, you know, back in the day,
it's not widely practiced anymore, and it's against the law for one thing. Guess what? Across the land, I mean, in the other than the United States, women are still given to men, even younger than that, from their marriages into marriage like that, and so it's weird. But usually when the family gets involved like that, and it's a young age, that's what they're supposed to do. Their parents, they're
right.
You know, parental, and that's what they're supposed to do. You know, you know, when you get into the motivations, you just never know. But in my mind, I kind of thought that protecting his interest, but protecting her too, you know, because I've seen some people, they get in, they travel them like Sonny and Cher, okay?
Right.
Cher was really young when Sonny got hurt, but we don't talk about that. But guess what?
Well,
what we also But we also don't know this, though, is that Cher was the brains behind the business and everything, even from a young age. You ever see Sonny do a musical career after that? It was all her. She was the producer and all that. And the same thing for the same thing for Desi Lou Productions. It was Lucille Ball. Desi and Lucy lived in a time where women, it wasn't allowed to do that, and it didn't matter. And so Desi, he was foreign, a Hispanic, Cuban or whatever, Cuban, and they wasn't having that. But guess what? They married each other. He's a man. And so they used to go to meetings, and Lucy would do all the talking, but he would sign the paperwork. Okay? Desi Lou. Okay?
Right.
But he didn't do the business and stuff behind that because women couldn't do it. And so you had lots of instances like that where they utilized marriage and then different ages and different whatever. You know, it's people do things for different things, and I guess when your money's funny, you do funny things. And the love of money is the root of all evil, and some pretty evil stuff was happening that, you know, from all that stuff.
In light of what R. Kelly said, though, do you think he did that more for that reason, or was it more to legitimize, because when you look at everything that happened after that, with other different young ladies after that, do you think he did that more in alignment with doing it for that reason or business reasons, or was it more just to, you know, feel good about trying to get somewhere to a home base, if you know what I mean?
I think that he loved her, and I think it was for business, too, you know? And to me, you know, it kind of makes sense. I know if I got assets and stuff, if some man is coming around and he's in the industry or he's got something viable, I think I would want the benefit of marriage, and then we both can rock with that. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Versus it being somebody pimping somebody, because you get a lot of people. That's what Ike Turner, Tina Turner's mama sold her to Ike. You go on to be with that man. That man that bought my house. He's like, girl, you go on to be with that man. He'll be nice to you. That's what Tina Turner's mama told Anna Mae Bullitt. And when she went home to her mother, asked me to beat her butt, she said, "No, you got to go. How am I going to keep this house? He bought this house for me." Oh my God! Yeah.
Well, they pimp that easy, and somebody's got to do it. But it's unfortunate that, you know, women had to face that type of basically, for lack of a better way to put it, that kind of a dogma, so to speak. Back in the day when I couldn't speak up and didn't have a voice. And that's a very horrible thing, because, you know, you can't, you know, just like everybody shouldn't, you know, be allowed to rap just because there's a microphone in the room.
And they shouldn't be allowed on the album cover either, just because they're friends. They ain't sung a note. They ain't done nothing. I ain't hit a beat. Ain't nothing, but they on the album cover. In fact, I want to be on your album cover.
It's covered. Trust me.
It sure is, too.
That's how we do it at Flossie Jeezy Worldwide and Robin Lynn Productions. You know, we do.
We just do what we want. You know, the Lord says, so as a man thinketh, so is he. So, you know, we just do the gosh darn thing. We do what we want. I don't know what y'all be doing, but I do what I want. And I love it, because really, like this last year, everything I thought about, I envisioned getting 1,000 views a day, and then I started getting 1,000 views a day. And then I started seeing, you know, 200,000. At the rate that I was going, you know, I slowed way down. This time last week, I was only at 190,000, and I sit here and I think about things, and then they occur. Not to say that, you know, there's a lot of effort and stuff. You know, when you think about things, it prompts you to action. You know, It should anyway. You know, we're all getting older, and with growth, there should be progression. And you either grow, you either grow together or you grow apart. You know, so.
Well, look, I'm.
Well,
I'm
all
just,
this from R. Kelly. You got me thinking about.
I'm just glad that in this day and time that you have a voice, and all women have a voice, because as far as I'm concerned, it's very important that women are able to actually, you know, have and make a choice in their lives, and they're not just more or less pushed into a corner to where they can't see or breathe straight. I think it's very unfortunate that the circumstances like that have availed themselves women are taken advantage of like that. I'm just glad that's not the case anymore. So, I mean, we're heading in the right direction so far as things go, and you know, God is good on that level of understanding for allowing us to be able to do what it is we do, and that's a beautiful thing. But at any rate, I am going to hit you with some more R. Kelly.
And I am going
to let you know that I think he made this song for a woman that was living in Chicago where he was at. And I think maybe he, you know what I mean? I think he messed up. As soon as I located here, I'll play it for you. But we got one of these type of situations where, you know, everything is viable and everything works. And I'm just glad to be able to sit in an apparatus like this and have an intelligible conversation about things so far as, you know what really goes down and how you know people actually view things. And like I said before, we're gonna live and play this song for you. I think you'll like this one, but it's serious, so you know what I'm saying. I hope you got a grip on something. You know what I'm saying. Hope you hold on. Hope you're relaxing and resting, because this one's about to get deep.
I got my feet up, and I got my I'm lay it on me. I'm ready.
Well, I'm gonna play this one for the women that ain't having it no more. With R. Kelly, and for singing this song, I think you'll like it. Here it comes.
La 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 Every time what happens.
Come apart, baby. Now
Wow.
Yeah.
That's hot and spicy. Wow.
You know? Hey, look, I
yeah,
love it.
Thank you. I love coming over to your show, man. It's great over here. Thank you.
His birthday is April 2nd. Mine is April 5th. And I feel the connection. I feel it, and I love it at the same time. You know what I'm saying? This is Flossy Jeezy with my girl Robin Lynn of Robin Lynn Productions. Hardest working woman in the industry, and this is Black Love, Marvin Gaye, and R. Kelly. I'm not going to say verses anymore. I'm going to say R. Kelly. But like I said, now here's we got a couple of more questions here. We got a couple of more. You know what I'm saying? It's just me and you doing this fizzle this evening, and whoever didn't call in this evening, I'll say it again: 646-595-3402. It's okay. This is what we do. We bring it to y'all live and uncut, 100 radio. You know, we love it. You know what I'm saying? I don't bash the negativity on either of these brothers too tough because I mean they both have done a whole lot to the industry so far as you know bringing it to the table, making us feel it, and
mm-hmm.
showing us exactly how the thing is done. As you usually, as you say, the garsh down thing is done. You know what I'm saying? My question to you is this, real quick, like, and I know what you're going to say, but like I said, take the question in its entirety and give it some careful thought rather than just answer. Who in your mind? And folks out there that's listening, we'll say it again, you can find us on Facebook, you can find us on Google, you can find us on Twitter, and I'm sure Robin Lynn will tell you all the other hundreds of places that she's got hidden off in the background, and she can tell you where to find us at. Who, in your opinion, had the most soulful sound out of these two?
Oh.
I know.
Oh, my God. That's not... Oh, the most soulful song. Yeah,
well,
can you hear me?
I mean, I can hear you. I mean, right down to your toes. Right down to your toes.
I'm sorry. I'm stuck between I Believe I Can Fly and Distant Lover, and those are just two, but they both had that effect, and I think I'm going to have to plead the fifth. I can't decide.
Well, folks, you heard her, and she's lost for words. That's hard
I'm
to do. I'm going to write this date and this time now that Robin Lynn is stuck.
Genuinely, because like I said, I go back and forth, and they both move. They actually both are so similar. And you know, we just don't know some things. You see, like you brought out some similarities. It's like, well, hey, you know, he had Tammy Terrell when it was, you know, and I was like, yeah, you know.
Yeah.
And guess what? If it had been brought out and been known about that for the music, they would have been like, oh, well, whatever. You know.
Right.
Because blacks, you know, they didn't have the opportunity to do a lot of stuff.
Right.
You know. And wow, what hell would you answer that? May I ask you the question? Answer the question, counselor.
I'm gonna photo finish this one because I know a lot of I'm keeping it 100, but I'm gonna photo finish this one because in my mind, I think that Marvin Gaye has an edge because I grew up with him as a kid, and you know R. Kelly
mm-hmm.
came along when I was over here a mature man. But
mm-hmm.
I'm going to give him an edge on the soulful sound because of the entirety of what he brings to the table so far
mm-hmm.
as his mix, what he has to say, the fact that, like
mm-hmm.
I said before, he's the Muhammad Ali of soul singers because he came out during a time saying what he had to say during the Vietnam War when so many artists were worried about their bottom line. He came out and was the first actual artist in my mind that spoke on the environment. Like you have environmentalists now that are worried about global warming.
Yeah, yeah.
does to the cities and what pollution does to the, how we're, not taking care of our hills and streams. And they say that you can always barometer man's existence by the animals, because the animals always living in purest form. They don't take away from the environment and leave, come in with an afro and end up leaving like Kojak. They don't do the environment like that. So for Marvin to speak out the way he did and the things he talked about, and of course he was the first one to actually come out and just openly talk about sex in a song via sexual healing, I would have to photo finish him over R. Kelly as being my guy that would be the most soulful. And I mean, Soul Train and all, right down to your bones. A lot of people don't know that him and this is probably kind of taken away from what I'm about the question, because I'm trying to avoid the question just like you did, in a way that's not going to make any sense. I saw Marvin Gaye once play a one-on-one game of basketball against Don Cornelius. It's on YouTube. Where he played a game of basketball one-on-one on Soul Train. And then when he got his clothes back on, still rocked the house with some, I used to come out and party. You heard him come like that. And Marvin, I'm telling you, to me, soulful means all of it. To me, soulful means that you can come with your program, but at the same time, when you come with your stuff, you're basically one of the first black messengers in a song that didn't have nothing to do with love or hard times. You actually talked about the environment and the hood and everything else. So that to me, that's full of finish, right?
And then let me go ahead and put a little edit on that Photoshop that you got going on there. The soul music, Marvin Gaye, they had to fight for soul. Soul music wasn't accepted, except for the whites could go and take it and capitalize on it, and then it became popular. But then it's different. But nowadays, soul music, there's not a lot of value placed on that. We're in the hip hop and stuff like that, and we've forgotten where we've come from. Most of us don't. Right. A lot of these young musicians don't even know. But they have a common thread that soul was really hard, and there was a reason why my Marvin Gaye was like that. They had to advocate. They had to fight for that, And that contrast now, where he's R. Kelly is more. It's probably I'm not gonna say easier, but probably easier for him to do the soul music. Except for now, it's like they don't nobody want his soul music, original R&B. People don't want him, but that's what it all is. What do people think hip-hop is but original R&B? There can't be anything more original than that. Rhythm and blues. That's what all music is. All music is jazz music, And so,
Well,
I don't know what you think about that.
The first gangster rap group, right, or one of the pioneers in that genre, was N.W.A., and they used a version of inner city blues with the song with the doc called The Formula.
Why don't we ever talk about some original rappers? We didn't call them rappers, but Isaac Hayes, Rudy Ray Moore,
right.
Lee Oster, why don't we talk about these guys? Gil Scott Heron. Huh?
Gil Scott Heron.
I'm just saying.
Millie Jackson.
Millie
Jackson. You remember Millie Jackson?
Oh, I remember me some Millie Jackson, man. I was rocking that about the 1980s. You remember the Fuck You Symphony? And that's P-H-U-C-K. I didn't say fuck. I said P-H-U-C-K. And fuck means for unlawful carnal knowledge. And I'm going to be coming in a few days with some knowledge about that word.
Right.
So it's actually not a word. It's an acronym.
Before you got on. Just before you came around, we got on the N-word. Remember, I got a show for people that's, you know, on the...
Oh, no, I'm talking about the word F-U, F-fuck.
That's actually not a word.
It's actually an acronym, and I won't be coming with it's actually four words what it means, but I'm going to come with that.
It's a verb and an adverb, too. It's a verb and an adverb, too, because fuck describes an action. And it's descriptive.
No.
It tells how something's messed up. So I mean.
Okay, so you gonna make me go ahead and say it now. Okay. Okay. In most places, even though it's not enforced, unlawful carnal knowledge, that means adultery,
or
sex outside of marriage, is against the law, and people were put to death for that. And on their tombstones, they would put four. Unlawful carnal knowledge, F-U-C-K. So that when we go around saying, oh, that's fucked up, that you're fucked up, we don't even know what we're saying. We're saying, man, you're dead. You're dead for unlawful carnal knowledge, man, you nasty. Okay? And so we take those words, which are, it's a legal term for unlawful carnal knowledge, and we go around and we go, man, fuck this, fuck that, and then we're told that that's profane. Well, if it's profane, why is it on people's tombstones? Go look about in the 1800s and see if it ain't on there.
Whee! Well, you're going deep into the pile. You're going deep into the pile now, see.
I went there.
Hey, ain't nothing wrong with that. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Matter of fact, you know, I'm glad you're around so you can bring that reality check on in here. Now, what I'm going to do
Chet, please. I'm going home.
You already know what's happening. I'm going to see if you know what's going on. For real, for real.
Oh, no, you're not. I'm going to sing for real now.
Make love to. It's music pure and simple and hard and soulful, if you insist. Full of promise and determination, unity and humanity. My loved ones, today is the birthplace of forever.
There's far too many of you died. You know we've got to find a way to bring some love here today. Father, we don't need to escalate. Thank you.
my brain. It ain't just me, baby. Anger can make you old. Yes, it can. I say anger will make you sick, children. Anger destroy your soul. No room for rage in there. There's no room for rage in here. When it's a place to go to be mad, it's a sin to treat your body bad. When anger really gets the best of us,
baby, you did. Oh,
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Flossy Jeezy back with his Black Love. Marvin Gaye versus R. Kelly, man. It's sharp all night long. We had some technical difficulties earlier. I was going to play some more R. Kelly, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, these things do happen from time to time, you know what I'm saying? 646-595-3402. You know what I'm saying? We're still live, but I'm still going to hit y'all up with the rest of this Marvin Gaye arsenal that I got here, and we'll probably do another retake on this show. You know what I'm saying? I guess the next question in line is going to be, you know what I'm saying, you know, who had the most impact socially? And I'm going to go ahead and answer that question while Robin takes a break real quick. I think Marvin Gaye had the best impact and the most impact on society with his songs about the ecology, with his songs about, you know what I'm saying, the environment, and with his songs, you know, of hope. And, you know what I'm saying, just general purpose stuff. I mean, everything this brother did has some kind of a message to it. And, of course, he brought that soulful sound, you know what I'm saying, that love is love all day long. You know what I'm saying, loving every minute of it as he was bringing it, folks. I mean, Marvin Gaye, you know what I'm saying, the immortal. Rest in peace to the Godfather. I'm going to continue to hit you on the hip, you know what I'm saying, and make you trip on some of this good stuff. Some of the old school folks will love it. You know what I'm saying, if you listen close enough, I'm quite sure you're going to hear some of the, you know what I'm saying, styles that you didn't know was his and stuff that's been sampled over the years. And you know how it goes, man. You know, the greatest form of, you know, flattery is always imitation. That's what they say. And as they always say, you know, Tennyson once said, it's a shame. It's a deadly shame that, you know what I'm saying, that youth is wasted on the young. You know what I'm saying? Old school Flossy here in the house, you know what I'm saying, bringing it to you live and uncut, 100 radio style. You know what I'm saying? Once again, you can find us on Twitter. You can find us on, you know what I'm saying, Google. You can find us on Facebook. We always coming at you live with the raw. Every now and then, though, I like to have a couple of shows and reminisce over the old school, because you know what they say, without the old school, there would be no new school. You know what I'm saying? That's what Pac said for all you young cats out there. Ain't nothing like the old school. You know what I'm saying? So I like to bring you this, you know what I'm saying, some of this old school so you can, you know, feel that flavor. And I know you know what I'm saying. So we're going to go ahead and keep it cracking real quick. You know what I'm saying? Next in line, you know, some of that, let's get it on. You understand what I'm saying? The song I had back way back in fourth grade, you know, I had a little shorty. Name was Shell, a little chocolate chick in Chicago, you know what I'm saying? I just thought I was all that. She thought I was all that, too. You know how it goes down. Flossy always in the back. So we're going to go ahead and get it on with Marvin Gaye. Here you go right here, y'all.
I've been really trying, baby, trying to hold back this feeling so long. And if you yeah.
I know. She said she loves some Marvin Gaye. Well, I know she had a lot of kids. I know she had a lot of kids, and she had every Marvin Gaye piece of music he ever had. Now, R. Kelly on the flip, R. Kelly on the flip side, he's part of that 90s era, man. And that was big for me because, yo, I had my firstborn that decade, man. But the thing about it, man, is like
they work off the strength.
Well, I blame that on Jodeci though. But anyway, but R. Kelly, man, R. Kelly, bro. I mean, hey, man, they both are heavyweight cats, man. I mean, really, they have a serious contribution to that genre of music, man, and the times, man, era of music. Cause Marvin, R. Kelly, man, the only thing I don't like about R. Kelly as of right now is that I think he lived musically, and I'm not really sure he's still going on. I think he has more material than what Marvin Gaye did, because I think he's been in the industry a lot longer. But see, the thing about R. Kelly, he doesn't consistently come out, man.
Right.
And he's trying to chase. He's getting away from, I think he's going back, but he was at one point getting away from what he was really about, man, when he's trying to get with these rappers, man, and starting to do some things that, you know, he was versatile at doing it, man, but stick to what you do, man. Don't go too far out, man.
Okay. Well, you know, I'm thinking of Stepping in the Name of Love, right? And I got a two-part question for you on this one, so I can get an earlier question in this one in. The first part of the part A of the question is, who out of the two do you think is the most soulful so far as the thing being done? But I know it's a tough one, and I asked Robin Lynn before she, you know, Shakara, I hate us because she had to go over and do a project over on her page. And part two of that, right, is do you think that R. Kelly's style imparts a lot of Marvin? So, I mean, when I hear Stepping in the Name of Love and him saying all this, woo-hoo, it sounded a lot like Marvin. You know what I'm saying? Well, so what do you think about those two things, man?
Marvin has more soul. Marvin has more soul because when he was doing his music, there was nothing but soul. And the thing about it is, R. Kelly didn't know anything about soul until he heard Marvin. So he had to get that soul from him. So he basically is trying to learn something that has already happened. Because his imitator, the originator, is Marvin Gaye.
Right. Now, you on player status. You already know what it's all about. Which one had the hottest flavor for the ladies?
Who had the hottest flavor?
Who had the hottest flavor? You know what I'm saying? You know that there's an old saying that if you get with the ladies, like the fellows will buy because they want what the women want. Who had the hottest flavor for the ladies, man? Was it that swash, you know, 90s R. Kelly? Or was it my man with that "I Want You" and sexual healing and all that good old hot stuff? You know what I'm saying? Who do you think you had the biggest impact on the ladies?
Oh man, damn!
I know.
Shit, man. I gotta go with R. Kelly, man, because I've seen his work. I haven't seen all Marvin's work. I know he had some work, but I think R. Kelly, man, R. Kelly had him 8 to 80 and shit. 8 to 80, dog, people are crazy. This motherfucker didn't have him all, man. I mean, his impact was crazy, man, to the point where he was so excited. He was so excited with the females he was got. He was taking piss on women. So I think it's, I got to go with R. Kelly, man.
See, he was trying to pass around the Gatorade without the label.
Yeah, man, he was so damn crazy, man. Dave Chappelle had to duplicate that shit. Like, damn.
It sounds to me like I'm gonna have to hit you right in the ribs with this one right here. So get your mouthpiece in because this here might be some more of that old live stuff. Watch out there now. Watch out.
Okay. Oh,
you know what I mean?
Down tonight.
get up, get up, get up. Let's make love tonight. Wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up. Cause you do it right.
Can't you stand?
Ooh, oh, no.
Yeah, your boy Flossy been dealing with it all evening long. The little technical difficulties. But you know what? We're going to get on out of here because it's just about that time anyway. I want to thank all y'all for coming out tonight, you know what I'm saying? Sharing that time with me, hanging out with your boy, you know what I'm saying? Letting them know that we still care about the whole situation, you know what I'm saying? Ain't nothing like this good Marvin Gaye music. Ain't nothing like this, you know what I'm saying, putting it down and enjoying having a good time, you know what I'm saying? And I'm going to go ahead and take you on home with something smooth by my main man, Marvin. Y'all have a blessed night. Thanks for coming out. We'll do it again real soon. I might have a show tomorrow night. I'm not for sure, but don't count Flossy out. He's always in the game. God bless y'all. Peace.